The next case is Art Plus Com Innovation Pool GmbH, 2017-10-16, Mr. Partridge.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Scott Partridge. I represent the appellant in this case, Art Plus Com. And I would like, during my remarks, to particularly address two issues that I think will help narrow the sets of issues that this court needs to decide. And those two issues first are the infringement case. Obviously, I would address that. And the second is that with respect to the set of validity issues, I think it's particularly important to focus, excuse me, on Claim 3, which is a dependent claim. We are not conceding with respect to Claim 1, but I think the Claim 3 issues are a little more straightforward and easier to follow.
Both issues would seem to involve F and G, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. The only infringement dispute was over F and G, and in fact, a lot of the prior art issues concern steps F and G as well, although there are issues with respect to step B as well. This was an unusual trial.
You don't seem to dispute that there was evidence regarding infringement that would oppose your evidence, that would indicate the absence of infringement, right?
There was evidence with respect to what was called the deep load mode of operation of Google Earth that the defendants put on. But in our case in chief, the argument for infringement we made was with respect to the navigation mode, the so-called default mode of operation of Google Earth. Our expert testified at length with respect to the source code that was directed to that mode of operation. And frankly, Your Honor, the easiest place to look to see that, in fact, there are two distinct modes is to look at appendix page 4294, which contains it's part of a slide presentation, a Google document, that this particular page identifies the two distinct modes of operation. The first, the navigation mode, which it describes as requesting course to find, which Google's expert acknowledged is a short form expression of steps F and G. It describes it as fast for global coverage. And then on the same page, it identifies the deep load mode, which it describes as requesting finer levels first. It's fast for the current view with sufficient quality, but slow as to global coverage. So there are two modes of operation with respect to Google Earth. Our case in chief directed to the navigation mode, and our expert went through 30 or 40 pages worth of testimony. Please.
We don't actually have the source code here. We have testimony about it. Is that right?
Your Honor, there are portions, there are descriptions of the source code that are included in the appendix, but you don't have the full source code.
Well, not the full, but the relevant.
The relevant portions of the source code, that's correct. There was an agreement between the parties as to how to manage the source code, given that it was a public forum and we tried our best to enable the public to be present during the trial. So the source code itself was before the jury, but there was a mechanism that was adopted that the parties agreed to and the court agreed to for managing the code.
Dr. Goodchild,
yes.
And then their corporate witness, name of the...
Mr. Birch.
Didn't they actually say, among the many things they said, we just don't operate that way? Now, you may disagree, but didn't they say that? And maybe that implies something to the effect that even their presentation about that is the 4294 that you were just citing, that they're just saying, that's just wrong. How are we supposed to decide
that? Actually, I think if you look at the testimony of Dr. Goodchild at page 1368 of the appendix, He agreed in looking at the source code on cross-examination that the source code, in fact, described this course-defined operation and that the default mode when set to zero was that mechanism, that way of operation. And then when we asked him if he had considered the code with respect to that default mode of operation, he said the code was complex and that he couldn't answer questions with respect to it. So I think the testimony that's before, that was before the court below and before you in this appeal is about an extensive amount of source code that was written to be this navigation mode of operation. And indeed, there is testimony by... Say again, please.
I'm sorry, you said the testimony is at 1369?
The appendix 1368. Did I say 69?
I thought you did, but okay.
That's where Dr. Goodchild was cross-examined about the source code that Dr. Castleman, our witness, had testified about.
Right, it says, and there it says the default, you're now asking Goodchild about the source code. There it says the default is zero, which is, of course, defined, yes. And I believe we've established that course defined is our shorthand for step F, yes. So that the default operation of these products, now you're moving from what the source code says to the default operation, actually how things operate, that they are going to do, unless something else happens, is going to the court to be course defined. Answer, I have no basis to answer your question. I would need to consider this in great detail. So, I mean, one might call that, he answered a couple of questions about what the source code says, and then he says, what happens in practice, I just can't tell you. But elsewhere, like on 1244, says Google Earth does not request or represent each of the smaller sections and therefore does not infringe claim one, step F. That sounds rather categorical.
With respect to the deep mode, deep load mode of operation, that's what he was testifying about. All the testimony of Mr. Birch and Dr. Goodchild was about that mode of operation. They actually...
He didn't differentiate and say that it only... in the deep mode.
They simply ignored in their case in chief the operation in the navigation mode, which clearly and certainly you can see it in the document that I just cited to you, which is a description by Google of the operation of Google Earth. That entire document talks about the different modes of operation and how Google Earth operates. And this was one of those unique circumstances that I have never seen before where
it describes the course defined on that document that you showed us as part of the navigation mode, right?
Yes. If you look at page 4294, the first bullet point,
yeah.
Request course defined, which Dr. Goodchild acknowledged was the short form for steps F and G of the patent. So what we had in the trial of this case was the plaintiffs putting on a case in chief with respect to...
Why aren't there questions and answers here, maybe with or maybe without excerpts of depositions in which Dr. Goodchild is asked, does Google Earth ever operate in navigation mode? And answer, yes. The trouble is that sort of thing seems to be missing. You're putting together what your expert said based on a presentation about the source code, apparently agreed about what the source code actually says, with an argument about the characterization of some seemingly broad language from Dr. Goodchild that's not limited to the sometime use, but is declarative of what Google Earth does and asking us to say that really only meant what it does sometimes, and they were always very, very coy about using language that masked sometimes, always, never. But we don't have something that, I don't know, specifically tells us that the facially broad language doesn't actually mean what it says.
Well, you do have the testimony of Dr. Castleman about how it operates, which is in considerable detail about how the system operates, not only on the basis of looking at the source code, but his actual operation of Google Earth himself and his various testing of the operation of Google Earth. We do have some testimony from Mr. Parker, which begins at page 483 of the appendix, that is about the way Google Earth operates. And we also have a video that was introduced into the record, which is Exhibit 4588, which is PTX 0142, which is a presentation that Google made at a SIGGRAPH conference in 2014, I believe, and the video describes the operation of Google Earth, including the fact that there are these modes of operation. So I think there is evidence in the record of that sort with respect to specifically asking questions of Dr. Goodchild at trial. Frankly, we were surprised that our case in chief goes in and it presents this case, and they present in their case in chief a non-infringement defense to another mode of operation that wasn't put at issue in the case, and that our position was that we've proven infringement as to the basic mode of operation, which this video describes as occurring 90% of the time and only 10% in the other mode. Sure.
If you lose on the silicon graphics anticipation, none of what we've just been discussing matters, right?
If we were to lose on whether or not the SRI, Teravision public use, anticipates, yes, you're correct. With respect to that, this is why I wanted to turn to Claim 3 first, because I think the issue is really easy with respect to Claim 3. The argument that was made was twofold at trial. They took the public use, and then they referred to documents that were not about the alleged public uses.
Forget those documents and focus only for yes. 1 minute on the, they gave you the source code. Why isn't that like giving the woman the corset in corset?
Well, in the case of they gave us the source code at the SIGGRAPH 1995 conference, again, it's the testimony of Mr. Lau that he did this. This was at a conference where we were also demonstrating our system. It is not corroborated by any other witness. And, in fact, the entire validity case is a house of cards that relies on a statement that Dr. Lau made that the features that were shown in all these documents, the video that was made, which was not a video of either of these public uses, it was made for the purpose of showing it in the event they couldn't do a demonstration. And their
doesn't the fact that they made the video in anticipation of doing this show it corroborate his testimony with respect to at least what his intended demonstration was?
There's no testimony about how the video was actually made and what it actually showed. And the fact of the matter here is that this method requires one, in order to meet the method, to go fetch request data from remote servers based on a movement by the user to different fields of use. One could prepare a video with everything preloaded in the computer. And in fact, these documents repeatedly talk about prefetched and preloaded. So there's no way to know whether that video was...
Can we save the rest of your rebuttal time?
Yes, that would be wise, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Josepher.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. The jury's verdict rests, as the Court knows, on several different bases, each of which could independently warrant affirmance, and each of which turns on disputed questions of fact. Starting with invalidity, I mean, there are two key overarching points applicable to both references. First, Google's expert testified on an element-by-element basis, identifying the parts of the disclosures he relied on and how a person of ordinary skill in the art would understand them. That's substantial evidence. And second, there was zero rebuttal case on invalidity. Nothing. Instead, they just, you know, as we were sort of just hearing a credibility attack on Mr. Lau, They just cross-examined Google's witnesses, which created at most a credibility issue that falls within the exclusive province of the jury.
Do you see any distinction between the validity arguments with respect to Claim 1 and the validity arguments with respect to Claim 3?
So for Claim 3, the difference is that there is this extra element of coordinate transformation. With respect to Terravision, Lau testified, and this is on page 1170.
This is the Silicon Graphics thing?
Yes, the SRI, yeah, exactly, SRI Terravision. He testified on page 1174. Remember, he's the creator of this. He testified, and he was talking about what was being shown in the video. He testified that it would do this coordinate transformation when the viewer moved from one spot to another.
We're on 1174, is that? Sorry, just help me. At the very top.
Sorry.
Yeah, so it actually begins on 1173.
Right, 1173. Yeah, at the bottom of line 22, 1173. Yeah, we used various coordinate transformers within Terravision. And then he explains, he goes on to explain, you know, how it was used, what it was done.
And the first thing is the 3 to 2 dimensional, but then he says another one is essentially bringing the origin closer so you can save a lot of digits in the floating.
Right. There are a couple different things it did. Our point is just that it did this, and as long as it did this for anticipation, it doesn't matter if it also did other things. And so these textbook coordinate transformation right there.
You agree that the video was never shown at any of these presentations?
No, that's false. He testified. Mr. Lau testified. By the way, the jury saw the video, too. It's in the record. We'd encourage you to watch it. It's informative. Mr. Lau testified that he demonstrated that as part of his public demonstrations, he demonstrated the video. He did two things. He did live demonstrations. So that when he was out there in the 95 SIGGRAPH, he did two things. He did a live demonstration that actually pulled data from the various sources live so you could see it. But then he also had this video, he said, you know, running in the background with the audio. The thing is, though, I mean, it's the point was made before, it's correct, is the most important thing is that he's the person behind SRI Terravision. He testified that he publicly demonstrated it at these two conferences. And then the question is, okay, exactly what did you publicly demonstrate? And he testified spot on that the Terravision that he demonstrated was had the same features as, not surprisingly, the Terravision.
Show me exactly where he said that. At least some, and I'm not sure, I guess my question is all of what he said. I guess I think of it in a Venn diagram way. I thought that a good deal of what he said, and maybe all, was everything I showed was in those documents. That doesn't mean everything in those documents is what it was in what I showed.
Understood. Well, let's start at 11.
The everything here is, of course, the stuff relevant to the claim.
I understand. And so I'm going to call your attention to pages 1175 to 77. 75, just to loop back to something else, 1175, line 17. Yes, I did live demonstrations of Terravision in operation on the exhibit floor, retrieving data from the across the network, and also showed the video that you saw in a loop on the TV screen. That's where he says he showed the video as well as did the live demonstrations that pulled data from different sources. Then we're over on 1176, starting on line 16. How did that, this is the 95 SIGGRAPH, how did that demonstration of the Terravision system compare to the features that were shown in the video? Answers, they're the same features that were shown on the video with Terravision. And then again, that's the video. And then the documents. And how do the features of the version of Terravision that you've demonstrated compare to the features described in the documents that we walked through? Answer, top of 1177, the features of Terravision that was demonstrated at SIGGRAPH 95 were the same that was in the papers that have been published to date, including the ones we have talked about. And that makes sense because it's SRI Terravision. It's a product that he created. He showed it some places. He wrote papers about it. He did a video about it. It's the same product. But this is the spot-on testimony, where they're just flat-out attacking his credibility, which is a question that's reserved exclusively for the jury. For what it's worth, the district court and you know, post-trial decisions also emphasized that he thought that Mr. Lau had testified you know, very credibly and forthrightly.
Right, so I'm not sure whether this testimony actually is the insufficient thing or the sufficient thing. I can easily read this testimony, and maybe that's not enough, but I can easily read this testimony to mean everything in the video was in the documents. But that doesn't mean everything relevant in the documents was in the video.
Well, I think when he says the features of, well, and then also with the documents, he says the feature of TerraVision that was demonstrated were the same that had been in the papers published to date. He's saying the features here were the same as the features there. And the jury, I think, at least it's a very reasonable inference to the jury that that means that the features in the papers are the ones that was demonstrated, especially since it is the same product that he had developed. I mean, he says the same.
Can we switch to infringement for a minute?
Of course.
With respect to the infringement, you heard the argument that the whole case of Chief was about how Google infringes under the navigation mode and that all of your testimony was in the alternative mode. Do you agree with that?
No. I mean, what you're hearing is a jury argument that was not made to the jury. There's one sort of both problems with it, which is to say Google's witnesses testified categorically that Google always skips nodes. There wasn't, at trial,
Where's the best version of that? Is that partly what I was... Well, you tell me what the best...
Sure. I mean, for Birch, they say that Birch hedged. So I'd point you to a couple places. Appendix page 1046. Quote, are all the traverse nodes requested? No. There's no hedging there. No.
Right, but is that in the context of a series of questions only about the... What's the non-navigation mode called? Something with the word mode in it?
No, you see, this testimony is not at all about one mode or another. It's just about the operation of Google Earth. This mode theory is mostly a jury argument developed on appeal is the problem. It wasn't.
Are there different modes?
There. Wait, we're outside of the record now.
Google Earth,
he showed us that.
Okay, so what is in the record? You're right. There's what's in the record is just these few slides. I was about to try to explain.
Well, so there are two modes.
Actually, answer your question. I was going to go out of it.
So there are two modes. So
for the Globe product, okay. There's the slides indicate that there are two modes: navigation and deep load. You know, their argument that course to fine necessarily means performing steps A through G of the claimed method. These slides, and this is page 4291, actually refute that, because they describe course define as starting from nodes that just exceed a quarter of the quality. So course define being over the bottom.
Does it operate differently depending on what mode it's in terms of, for instance, the number of times that that it skips nodes?
Right. Well, this is two things. This is where I got
to... This is the first question.
Right. And the problem is, this is where, in terms of how it all works, it's just all we have in this record is, you know, these couple slides. But what the answer is that...
That's part of their problem, is they say that you didn't put it into the record. So, and that they focused on one mode of operation.
Right.
And you never responded to that mode of operation. And you're doing the same thing now. So
no, it's wrong in two respects. First, they bear the burden of proof on non-infringement, of course. And the testimony, if they wanted
to... We're supposed to decide if there was enough evidence to support the jury verdict.
Right, and the jury verdict is the categorical testimony of Google's witnesses that is just categorical across the board. They now want to say it was limited to something, where one, on its face it wasn't, and two, they never cross-examined the witnesses on this. If they thought that the witnesses were trying to be coy, they could have asked them about it. They didn't. The jury was entitled to conclude that the testimony was what it was. But to answer the question, the Globe product, the problem is we're just outside of the record here, but the Globe product can switch between two different modes, but it'll run them both on the same screen at the same time. The way it works is you start in deep load. Navigation is when you're zooming or moving around. So as the user starts to move around, the new screen will entail some data that was already there and some new data. For example, if I move, part of what I already saw, part of the new. When I move, the part that I'd already been seeing, that remains in the deep load. The new part is in navigation, which may, at least for time, work in a more like the patented method, at least. Problem is, this isn't the case they put on a trial, and therefore what I just said is not in the record, but that's my answer to you. The other thing about the video was never shown to the jury. This whole thing about 10 versus 90%, never shown to the jury. And the way the video got in at all was that they read some deposition testimony of one of Google's engineers, And that referenced the video, so then they moved the admission of the video. Fine, it goes in. But the jury never heard anything in the video. And the only deposition testimony that's relevant to this issue was the engineer testifying that there were...
You say the jury never heard anything relevant to the video, but the video was admitted, so it went back to the jury room for the jury to view?
In theory, it could have. Although
even in theory, it could have. It was either admitted or it wasn't.
It was admitted. It was admitted.
All evidence goes back to the jury, right?
It was admitted, but, I mean, two things about that. One is, I mean, yes, but. One is, if something is just lurking there, never called to the jury's attention, no reason to think they'd ever see it. I mean, this court has held, you can't assail a jury verdict that way. Right. This court's case on point.
Everything that goes into the jury, trust me, the jury has the opportunity to review all of the evidence. So we have to see what evidence the jury had before them. Had it before them. We can't decide what they looked at and what they didn't look
Agreed.
At.
Agreed. We don't know. But what this court has held, and this is the Fresenius against Baxter from 2009, 582 F3rd at page 1300, is that on appeal from a jury verdict, if you want to rely on evidence, you have to have called the jury's attention to it. You know, if you've got something that's buried somewhere, you can't suddenly pull that out as a gotcha on appeal. But the other point is that the testimony about the video and the couple slides that accompanied it from the Google engineer is that there were, quote, many significant differences between that high-level presentation and the way the source code actually worked. So the only evidence about the video and the slides is that they're not reliable in this sense because they were, you know, high-level, oversimplified presentations.
So, but do you agree that the video shows that the Google Earth products only skip nodes a small percentage of the time?
No, not at all. The problem is they're talking about different things. It gets confused. And Judge Dyke dealt with this in his post-trial opinion. I think it's footnote 4. I mean, appendix page 6354 to 55, footnote 4. We agree there are all kinds of problems with it. But one of them is that testimony is that video the jury wasn't shown. And a couple out-of-context slides, I mean, are not even... The only evidence is that they're not accurate and reliable.
I don't buy the argument that the jury wasn't shown the video if the video was introduced into evidence and the jury had it before them. So... Tell me whether the video shows that it only skips nodes a small percentage of the time.
No, there's a reading in which you could say that there's two different modes. One of them is 90%, the other is 10%. But the key point, again...
And is the one that's 10% the navigation mode?
I think it was the other one around. But the point is, though, that they... What you're talking about there, though, again, and this is the context that, you know, if any of this has been presented at trial, right, there'd be more of it. You know, Google.
It was presented at trial, okay? Assume it's presented at trial.
Okay.
They had a witness that got it introduced. It's presented at trial.
Okay, and the evidence that the jury did hear was that it's not reliable. The Google engineer said it's an oversimplification because it's a high-level generalization, and therefore there are many significant differences between that and the actual operation. That's the evidence. That is the evidence the jury unquestionably heard.
Is there any evidence that differentiates between the two modes of operation from Google's perspective?
Differentiates between the two?
Yeah, in terms of how they operate.
Well, what they put in was, I mean, what is in the rec, what there are these, in addition to that video, there's a few pages of slides that we're talking about that show that you know, indicate there are the two different modes. Again, those slides also, in one instance, talk about course-defined meaning, pulling only the bottom.
Right. So did anybody from Google testify as to how the two modes operate or respond to the plaintiff's argument that they operate differently?
No, because, I mean, again, this really wasn't an argument that was made at trial. What the jury did hear from Google, which is why I said it's a jury argument that for the most part wasn't even made to the jury. What the jury did hear was Google's categorical testimony from two different witnesses that this is how it works. Also, you know, in terms of what Dr. Castleman, their expert, admitted that he had not analyzed whether nodes were skipped. There's another rather important point. I mean, he testified a lot about the code, but his testimony about the code went to the dividing and storing. When it comes to actual node skipping, he admitted on cross he hadn't analyzed node skipping. And then when he was up on redirect, you know, the only testimony that he gave was that he thought that Google Earth just looked too smooth to skip nodes, which Google's witnesses also controverted. I'm out of time if there are no more questions.
Thank you, Mr. Joseph. Mr. Partridge has some rebuttal time, a minute and 16 seconds.
Yes, I will speak quickly. The reason Dr. Castleman didn't address the
the other mode was because we already proved infringement through the default navigation mode. So, yes, he answered a question that I haven't looked at the source code for the other mode of operation because my testimony is about the navigation mode of operation. Very important point that...
If Google's witnesses say, across the board, we don't skip nodes, even if you thought they were playing games, why didn't you cross-examine them and say, in what mode?
Yeah, actually, Google's witnesses never said they, even in the deep load mode, that they always skip nodes. If you look at the testimony of Mr. Birch on appendix 1047, he said some child modes are displayed before parent nodes. Child nodes potentially could be fetched ahead and potentially could be displayed ahead of the parent nodes. So the testimony they're relying upon doesn't even say this always happens in this fashion. I only have a few seconds. I must say that with respect to Lau's testimony about the latitude and longitude, they continued working on SRI Terravision long after the critical date. Fatal to this claim is that there is no testimony as to when that happened, let alone the fact that it is totally uncorroborated, not in any of the documents that aren't even about the demonstrations, but those documents, even if you considered them to be corroborative documents, say nothing about this mode of operation. There is no invalidity case that stands the scrutiny of the law adopted by this court with respect to Claim 3. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. We'll take the case under advisement.
All rise.